In the name of our Lord Jesus, dear friends. In Advent, before Christmas, I preached on the content of the first part of this reading regarding John the Baptist as the Advent preacher. So this morning, I'd like to focus on the last few verses of the text, beginning at verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, I certainly do not mean to be disrespectful or blasphemous, but I used to think that the text before us today was full of weirdness. As a kid, I thought it was weird that Jesus needed to be baptized. I thought it was weird that a regular old sinful guy like John got to baptize God's Son. I always wondered what John said. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of, well, you and the Holy Spirit." I didn't know. I just didn't understand it too well. And maybe as we heard this account today, maybe it brought up some questions in your mind too. Well, God's Word today gives us some answers, and we have the opportunity to review what baptism is as we compare our baptism and Christ's baptism. One of the reasons that we may have a little trouble understanding the baptism of Jesus is that we know that God says that we are baptized in order to remove our sins. In what we call the Great Commission, Jesus commanded his disciples, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." As Jesus' disciples today, we too are to go to all people. All people need baptism because all people are sinful. God sent a believer named Ananias to Paul as he was converted by God. And this is what Ananias told Paul. "And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away." The Apostle Peter explained this to the people who gathered to hear him at Pentecost. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, if you pressed me to explain just how baptism works, I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it either. We don't know how simply applying a little bit of water and saying the words, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," we don't know how those can give the gift of faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and wash someone's sins away. I can't explain that. Maybe you've even thought, well, it kind of sounds like magic, like hocus pocus. You just say these words. How can a little water do something like that? Well, Martin Luther in his catechism posed the same question. How can water do such great things? And this is how he answered that question, based on Scripture, of course. "It is certainly not the water that does such things, but God's Word, which is in and with the water, and faith which trusts this Word used with the water. For without God's water, God's Word, the water is just plain water and not baptism. But with His Word, it is baptism. God's Word makes it a washing through which God graciously forgives our sin and grants us rebirth and a new life through the Holy Spirit." For Christians who simply hear God's Word, hear what it says on baptism, we trust it because it is God's Word. We don't even have to attempt an explanation any further. Baptism holds that kind of power and does those great things because God says that it does. How it can do those things is one of the great mysteries of God, is what the Bible calls them. Not only is it okay for there to be some things that we can't fully comprehend or understand, it's going to be that way whether we like it or not. We're not God. We are not all-knowing. He knows how it works. He knows what he accomplishes through it. So as faithful Christians, we just stand in awe of God that he would provide a means of grace like baptism where he forgives sins and gives the gift of faith. Okay, so, I mean, looking around, most of us probably accept that part, but why did Jesus have to be baptized? If baptism is for the forgiveness of sins, why Jesus? He wasn't sinful. Scripture makes that abundantly clear. In one place, the Bible says this about Jesus: "For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." John the Baptist knew this about Jesus, so we find him absolutely flabbergasted that the sinless Savior would come to him to be baptized. John even had the kind of questions that you and I might have about this. Today's gospel doesn't include everything that we know about Jesus' baptism. The other gospel writers also record the baptism of Jesus. And this is what Matthew says: "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus' answer to him," again found in Matthew's gospel, "is very important. 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented." Jesus told him to baptize him right then because it was proper in God's eyes and it would fulfill all righteousness. There was an expectation of God that sinners would be baptized by John. Jesus, the one who bore every person's sin on him while he was living in this world, identified with sinners and underwent baptism. So both John and Jesus had a part in doing what was proper, what was appropriate in God's eyes. But it seems that the baptism of Jesus and this fulfilling all righteousness means something even more than that. Jesus received the benefit and the blessing of the Holy Spirit in his baptism. That allowed him to go forth in his ministry right after this, to truly, in every sense of God's plan and expectation, fulfill all righteousness. So he continued living a perfect life, starting with combating the devil's temptations in the desert and going right on through to the end of his life with his sufferings and death. Our comfort in witnessing Jesus' baptism today is remembering that Jesus did fulfill all righteousness. As he prepared to spend the next 3 years bringing that work to completion, he underwent baptism, and he derived actual, real benefit and blessing from the Holy Spirit, just like we do in baptism. And while our sins are forgiven in baptism, and that makes it a little different than Jesus' baptism, we do receive the Holy Spirit just like Jesus did. We also are then empowered to live righteous lives for God. So we see the grace of God bestowed on Christ as he began his earthly ministry, very much like we see the grace of God bestowed upon each of us as we are baptized. Another difference between our baptism and Christ's is that ours confesses faith in God and his shows that he is the Savior. For us, faith is obvious and evident at baptism. Although some would argue, God gives faith even to little infants as they're baptized. There is nothing in all of Holy Scripture that says or even hints that children should not be baptized. Nothing remotely close to that. But what we do hear from God's Word are these things. Every person is sinful from conception. Every person needs forgiveness. We are to go to all nations with baptism. Nations are made up of people, including even babies. Whole families, we find in Scripture, were baptized. In fact, we heard that in our lesson today. The jailer and his household were baptized. Jesus himself said, "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And a personal favorite of mine, the psalmist says, "God has ordained praise from the lips of children and infants." So don't just assume that that crying out there is for no good purpose on a Sunday morning. It is sinful foolishness to believe that even the tiniest babies cannot have faith. And when we consider that baptism is a gift of God to us and not something that we must decide to do for God, well, then we realize that God can give that gift of faith, that gift of forgiveness to anyone he chooses, including little infants who have the ability, as we just heard, to praise God. The miracle of faith is 100% a gift from God, not something that we have the power to decide or to create. God grants that faith even in the smallest child. Listen again to Acts 2, verse 38, which I read before, but now I'm going to add the next verse to that as well. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Baptism is for forgiveness. It is for the gift of faith. And it is even for little children. Now, certainly babies do not confess their sins or confess their faith at the time of their baptism. But the act of baptism itself is a confession of the Christian faith. We hear it. We see it in baptism when the pastor explains that as parents and witnesses attest to the faith that does now exist in this little child. Adults are a different story. And some of you know this from experience. It usually happens that adults learn what God says about baptism, namely the gifts that he gives in baptism and his desire for every person to be baptized, and then they say, "I would like to be baptized." That's often what we see in Scripture, in fact. That desire flows from a heart of faith and therefore is then a confession of faith in God. Baptism for Jesus, obviously, was a little different. Jesus had no need to have faith created at his baptism. He is God. There was no need for a confession of faith on his part, but his baptism did show that he was the Savior. Listen again to what happened. "As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. In you I am well pleased.'" So heaven is torn open. The Holy Spirit descended, and the voice of God the Father was heard. All three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were present. God declared Jesus to be his Son and the Savior. With this event, the one true God launches into the climax of his great plan of salvation. All of the waiting, all of the preparation, all of the holding back for just the right time had now come to an end. The Savior of the world is ready to begin his most serious work of redemption. The most momentous days this earth will ever experience. The 3 years of Christ's ministry were about to commence. And so Jesus would now walk the land of Israel preaching, teaching, healing, helping, leading people to God, and it finally would end in his cruel sufferings and his torturous death, only to be followed by his glorious resurrection and his ascension into heaven. Well, this baptism of Jesus was no empty ceremony, something that he just had to go through because God expected it. As God reveals his Son at his baptism, he propels Jesus into the working out of our salvation. It showed that he was indeed the Savior of the world. Now back to us and our baptisms just one more time. The special gifts of forgiveness and faith that come through baptism mean that the baptized person is a child of God. And so that you and I might have this comfort, God had the Apostle Paul write this to the Galatians. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So he says, by our baptisms, we are clothed with Christ. God sees you and me wrapped up with his Son. That's why God calls us sons. All of us, men and women alike, he calls sons of God. When God looks at us, he sees Christ wrapped around us. And sons of God are the ones who are the heirs, the ones who stand to inherit eternal life. Permit me to read just one more passage on baptism, and I think this is as important a passage as you're going to find on baptism. It's from 1 Peter chapter 3. In the ark, only a few people, 8 in all, that's Noah's family, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, baptism is not merely some symbolic act, as some would believe. You heard Peter teaches clearly that baptism saves. And he repeats it. When we're baptized, it's as if we are stamped property of God. Sin no longer owns us. Death no longer can hold us. The devil has no power over us. And even better than property of God, it says that we're brought into the family of God. So you and I are called children of God. We're called sons of God with that inheritance. We're called brothers and sisters with Christ Jesus himself. Can there be more wonderful news than this? Than to know that we have been made children of God? To know that our sins are not counted against us, but in baptism they're washed away entirely? To know that we have God's love and his care every single day? To know that we have salvation by faith in Jesus? These are the greatest things a person can know. Remembering that we are baptized children of God assures us of these comforts. Now, Jesus' baptism did not make him God's child. It proved that he was God's son already. The words are clear. You are my son, whom I love. In you I am well pleased. This was not a new position for Jesus, like sadly some teach. He did not at this point suddenly become God's son in the same sense that you and I become children of God through baptism. He was always God's son. We just got done celebrating Christmas, Jesus' birth into this world, and no doubt you remember this assurance of God that we heard. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Jesus was always God's son from eternity. His baptism is one of those times where God declares it and gives us proof that Jesus is God's son. I hope that considering this account of Jesus' baptism in light of other passages of Scripture that talk about baptism was helpful, maybe just as a review for you, or maybe it brings a better understanding of just what our baptism means for us and why Jesus would have to be baptized. I also hope that we go home today with a renewed appreciation for our own baptism, maybe repenting of misunderstandings that we've had about this gift of God, or not understanding or appreciating Jesus' work on our behalf, including something like his baptism. I pray that you trust in God's forgiveness for you because of Christ, who fulfilled all righteousness in his baptism and after that until his redeeming work was done. And finally, we ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen us to live in our baptismal grace all the days of our lives. Amen.